Hey, Adam, I got a situation here. I need a new employee.
Okay.
To carry on some pretty technical stuff that's in over my head. My cousin considers himself a technical guy. And he adapts pretty quickly to almost any situation. And he seems pretty smart. He's got a fancy engineering degree. And I talked to him about joining my company. And he's all excited about it.
It's good.
Now, I know he seems to be the kind of guy who can adapt with a little bit of molding, you know. Requires a lot of electrical engineering background, and his degree is in mechanical engineering. But he's okay. I mean, I trust him a lot, and that's kind of important in the job he's going to be doing. I need somebody who can be a straight shooter. And I'm thinking of hiring him. What do you think? He doesn't quite, you know, we have a job description for this, and he doesn't quite fit all the criteria we're looking for. You know, I can check off maybe 80% of the boxes, and maybe 75%. But he's a good guy. I've known him for a long time.
Do I hear 66%? Do I hear? You know, as I listen to you talk, I got a question for you, Jack. Is your cousin's name Vinny? That's what's coming to mind.
Hey, as a matter of fact, it is.
So it's making me think about that movie. And for those of you who haven't seen the movie, I'm sure most of you have seen most or parts of it, or it's out and about. But my cousin Vinny is a case of a couple young kids that get pulled over, and they think they're getting pulled over shoplifting. Actually, winds up being a murder that happens. And my cousin Vinny is the cousin who happened to pass the law, you know, the bar exam after what?
Just passed it, yeah.
I think after the sixth time, right? And has never tried a case before, but he's a lawyer, right? He's a lawyer. And, you know, it's a very entertaining Hollywood stuff, and there's a happy ending, Jack, and that's true of Hollywood often. There's a happy ending. Unfortunately, in real life, it doesn't always end so well for family stuff like this. So whether it be my cousin Vinny the movie, your cousin Vinny here, or anybody else's cousins or relatives, we often and strongly advise our clients to go against, I guess, the grain from that standpoint in terms of hiring family last instead of hiring family first.
So I shouldn't consider my cousin here at the beginning of this hunt.
Right. Well, we're saying, you know, he seems like he might be okay. And to your own admission, he covers 80-ish%, 75%. He covers a good chunk of what you're looking for, right? So I say let's put him in the pot of people you want to be talking to about this, but let's make him one of many that we're talking to about this to see, right? To see.
Yeah, we see this. We see this so much in our coaching. We see this so much in the small business world. People leading with their relatives or friends to hire a position. And they start to rationalize that person could be plugged into this opening for the various reasons that really end up quite often not even being part of the reason to hire them.
Well, this is often a fatal mistake, especially early on, Jack. Early on, when people are getting started, especially it can be that case. And it comes from, I think, good intentions. And it might sound counterintuitive, especially for folks who know us well, especially and folks who listen to this show a lot, Jack, because they know that we're very fond of the concept of know, like, and trust. And you mentioned that trust thing when you're presenting your opening argument here in terms of why you wanted to bring your cousin on board, because you trust him. Okay. And so we are big fans of know, like, and trust. And that's a good thing. Now, that doesn't mean that you need to necessarily hire the family or hire the people that you know, like, and trust, but they could be resources for you to help find what you're looking for. So if you have that very detailed job description, Jack, that's fantastic, because that helps enable you to tap into your know, like, and trust network to maybe find that person, right? To find multiples of those of that person who exists that kind of would fit that. And we can then compare them to your cousin and see how they do. Maybe they only hit half the points, right? Or maybe they're at 3/4, 80% of it, just like your cousin is. Okay, at that point, with those things being equal, okay, then the question becomes, hey, who do you kind of go with? Do you then maybe lean towards your cousin because of the other things that he has that in terms of the trust and everything else? Perhaps. But that's very short. very short-sighted. Very short-sighted. All right.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We have seen so many problems, and the problems aren't competence that's involved, although that's the case sometimes. But for the most part, the business owner has identified somebody in their family or friends that would be a good guy to mold because he is a good guy or she is a good girl, whatever the case may be. And that relationship is all of a sudden weighted because the thought of going and interviewing people and trying to get the connectivity is shortcutted because people don't like to do that. Hey, this guy will work pretty good. Well, chances are no. And it isn't a no because he's a bad person and the fit may not, the fit may not be the right one. That's really what it comes down to. He can't be objective in many cases. We have family history. If it's a close relative or a close friend, he knows how to manipulate you, not in a mean sense, but just how to, what buttons to press with you.
They know what the buttons are, where to go, and they aren't afraid to push them, right?
Yeah, and they automatically come into the company, and that relationship puts strain on your other employees. And that's more the problem. It starts to be personalized when the inevitable differences come about and ill feelings start to be developed. It's tough. It's just one layer of objectivity that is eliminated here that makes it hard. It just makes it hard.
So I think I don't know if people believe this stuff at times. They may hear or think about it, but I mean, one simple example, Jack, is a client we started with years ago where when we met them, they were at least 20 years, maybe 25 years into the business. And believe it or not, folks, in that 20 plus years of being in business, they had never hired anybody who wasn't family. Now, that family tree went from the trunk, right, of the nuclear family of parents and kids to spouses and cousins and siblings and in-laws and, you name it. The family tree started to kind of grow. But when you look at the folks that are working there for two plus decades, Jack, there's not anybody there who was not somehow related, right? I mean, it's almost like you have to try to do that, right, in terms of what was
going on. That's right.
And part of the reason we got brought in is because they'd kind of gotten stuck a little bit. And this was a time when they were transitioning from the one generation to the next. And the new generation was thinking about hiring outside of the family, but it hadn't happened before. And it's amazing in the last several years as they started to hire folks who were not necessarily family and the breath of fresh air that those folks brought in terms of just the qualifications. Again, the best performing people in the company are now non-family people, Jack, which is not a surprise to us because again, the folks that they had in there were in there, and as you're touching on it, Jack, if it's family or friends, it's a very difficult spot for that family or friend who comes in too, because there it's almost assumed that, hey, you are here because of your relationship with the owner.
That's right. That's what comes through, all those irrational rationales.
Right. So the idea of trying to bring in, we say bringing in last versus first. Again, the idea is you want to bring other candidates. You want to bring other people in. You want to make sure that, hey, if the person who's your friend or family member is that person who, okay, they hit all the, they check off all the boxes, not 75%, 80%. They do 100% of those boxes, Jack. And then they add to it, right? Not only do they have exactly what you're looking for in terms of the background and the skills and experience, they also have this and this on top of that stuff, right? So they are overqualified for the position. They're the most qualified person you've interviewed. Okay. That becomes at least a chance to kind of get them set up for more success, to have them kind of come in that way. So again, we're not against hiring family, assuming you go through the same kind of process. And hey, it's okay. You're a family member. You might be lucky. Your family member is the right person for this job. That's great. Let's get them in there. Right? But that is what we see often as one of the biggest limiting factors for the growth of companies too, is because again, if you're only going as far as your family, again, if you aren't born into the right family, it's going to limit kind of what you're doing to a certain extent.
Well, the real question to ponder here is why? Why do they do it? And it isn't, it's a very frequent occurrence, high and above the percentage, the big percentage of doing it. Well, so why do they do it? Isn't that the important thing here?
It depends, Jack. So again, it's that more extreme example of the 2+ decades of hiring only family, right? We got other clients of ours where, again, they hire other people, but they also hire family, right? We have one in particular where they brought on a parent. They brought on a sibling. They brought on a spouse. They brought on a good friend, right? Now, that's out of 30, 40 people. Okay, not just those three or four, but okay, so they have parts of them. And so some of those worked out. Some didn't work out so well, right? A couple of those worked out really well. But again, the discussions we have up front are saying, okay, you got to make sure that if this doesn't work, what do you do then? That's, again, come back to the being very short-sighted. I think a lot of the reason why they do it, Jack, is short-sighted is, hey, I need somebody 2 weeks ago to be in this role. And the fact that I know you, I can bring you in, hey, that gets me to my goal faster. I have you on board this month versus having to go through could be a several week or several month process of going out to try to find somebody. It's more that immediacy. Hey, I got a body. I can put that body in there. And it's going to be, in my mind, Jack, it's going to be better than what we're doing right now because it's going to
really that's
a short-term issue.
That's probably a pretty good way to describe it, because it's a short-term fix rather than planning, which most small business owners don't like to plan and plug in the need for this particular type of employee, taking your time and doing it in a methodical right way, looking at many options along the way versus not making a decision, waiting, and all of a sudden, boom, you're in a crisis mode and you hire Cousin Vinny. Right. That's typically what happens. So it's the why it happens so much is because small business owners don't plan. They don't like to plan and hold themselves accountable to the plan. Two very important ingredients for any expenditure that you're going to make of significance, any change of significance in your company. If you don't have a plan and you're not oriented that way, it's all reactionary. So many relatives come on board with small businesses because it's a reactionary kind of move, not a methodical, well thought out move where you bring in some of your key employees and interview your candidates, especially your cousin here, and get some objective feedback and say, hey, Adam, your cousin's a pretty good guy, but I get these 6 points that tell me he's not the right one.
Right.
You know, so we get it, but hey, I like my cousin Vinny. Right.
Well, you see this stuff, Jack. What happens is you start to understand why when you look at bigger organizations, there's often something known as a no nepotism rule. Right. Which is
right.
That you can't hire family. And it starts to make sense in terms of, okay, because I think they understand that at the bigger level, to your point, with the bigger company, those planning modes are part of how they go about just running the business. And they take a lot of the emotions out of it. And so we often will see in small business, Jack, we see some folks who are small business owners who, again, have sworn off, hey, I'm never hiring another family member again, right? Because they've either had bad experience with it or they've been able to learn from somebody else's bad experience and say, hey, you know what? I don't want to be in that situation because we see it again. It usually comes from a very good place. But then what will often happen is because you know that person outside of work in a certain way, again, you're aware of other situations going on. And so for a certain position, all of a sudden, you may be overpaying that person for that position too. And they need a raise because, hey, they had something happen here, some bad thing happened here. There's a health issue with the kid or whatever it might be. All of a sudden, there's all these things that you're using to make decisions about your business that are based upon emotional stuff that's related to the personal relationship, nothing to do with what's going on day to day in the business side of stuff, right? And it's very difficult to just kind of cut those things off because what happens is, again, coming back to what we always ask people is, okay, what happens if this doesn't work out? So what's going to happen with you and your sister? What's going to happen with you and your cousin? What's going to happen with you and your dad? Right.
So that's a huge point, Adam. That's a huge point because you now become subjective. You place these scenes at the Thanksgiving dinner and the Christmas parties and all these family or friend events that all of a sudden are going to be strained. You see it. You see it right there. It's one of the considerations that's running through your mind while you're trying to be objective here. So you defer, you basically, I'm going to not worry about this. I'm gonna, even though it's telling me that this is dangerous, I still go ahead and do it anyway. And I pay the price down the line more often than not. We've seen it too many times for it not to be wrong. Now, it doesn't mean it's always wrong. And there are some great stories with relatives and friends, but they're in the minority, that's for sure. Now, you had good luck. You had good luck in your family with that.
Yeah,
going totally against the grain.
I didn't know any better, Jack. But I think that as I look back on it, you know, what often is the case, you know, like with my dad starting the business, he brought my mom on board to handle some of the stuff early on, and it was kind of as a part-time thing. I'll kind of do it. I think it's often how it happens, right? There are so many spouses, Jack, we see get involved like that, right? They're working maybe full-time somewhere else, or they're a full-time stay-at-home parent, whatever it might be. But then they get kind of dragged in a little bit, just a little bit at a time, right? It's a few hours here and there, and then it starts to kind of grow, right? And next thing you know, you wake up 5 years later, and it's all of a sudden, how the heck did I get here, right? And part of the challenge is that they're coming in doing the best that they can, but if their heart's not in it, they're going to kind of, again, they're going to have some shortfalls. And part of what we see happens a lot with companies, especially with small companies, Jack, is you're having some success and you start to kind of grow. If your people don't grow with you, you start to outgrow them. Okay. And that becomes very difficult to have that separation discussion, right? So we had a client years ago that we first started, we were kind of going through some stuff, and the reason that they brought us in is they kind of got stuck. They kind of got stuck at a certain level, which is often the case. And when we see that happen, Jack, they usually is a sign to us that means that the owner doesn't have a good enough team around them to help continue to help them to grow, right? Because the owner can take it so far by herself, by himself. But if you don't have a team behind you, whether it be at $500,000 in revenue, $1 million in revenue, $5 million in revenue, at some point you're going to hit a wall because it's only one of you, and you got to have some good people who are with you.
Right.
You start to kind of have some of that growth. What happens is, again, if your people aren't growing with you, there's that, you know, the old famous cliche, Jack, that the chain's only as strong as the weakest link. And so you have those weak links that are there. You have to replace them, right? Either get rid of them and put the good links together, or put a better link there. So with this one particular client, it took us, you know, very quickly, we identified one of the bigger challenges of somebody who was outgrown. This is a person that was there since almost day one. And they've been with the business 15 years. And so that person becomes almost like family. Okay. That's a big part of the stuff too. People become, and the emotion is there. That person became almost like family. And so for the next year, the owner is, I don't want to say making excuses, but they're looking for other reasons to not let this person go, to try to find ways to work around, to kind of keep things kind of going. But the challenge was this person just wasn't growing. And it wasn't until it was very obvious that this person was costing them money. Okay, you know, certain things weren't being billed out. So again, that hey, we need to make a change. And it's often the case, Jack, when you make a change like that, what you see of some of the challenges, the problems that are going on, once that person's gone, also there's a bunch of other things going on that you weren't aware of because that person was kind of covering up or moving around. And so there are other problems that are happening. And so once this client of ours got past that first domino of kind of getting rid of the first person, well, everybody except for one person was changed over the course of the next couple of years. Because once the owner realized, hey, this is what they was holding me back, to your point, I start getting excited about it. So, okay, wait, I can see a pathway to this now. And now for this particular owner, it was easier to have that discussion because even though that person, like I said, was like family, Jack, the person wasn't family. And so, you know, it wasn't have to worry about, you know, the birthday party that I was going to have to, you know, have to see this person at, right? So it's, you're able to make that clean break. With family, we often will take those people that we've outgrown and we try to plug them in different places, right? Say, let's put them here, put them there, kind of get them out of the way, you know, and you almost, as the owner, you take it on as your responsibility. Here, also, I'm responsible now for taking care of this person. It's like, it becomes very difficult.
Sure.
And so our point is to say, hey, before you go down that path, okay, we're trying to make sure that we talk folks through this. We talk our clients through it all the time. We're bringing it up here on the podcast to make sure that the other owners we're talking to are really aware of it and think long and hard about this. That hey, if you're bringing in your spouse, you got to understand, hey, what happens if you have to let go of your spouse? Especially if you talk about this before you bring the spouse into the business, right? It's like talking about dying, right? Nobody's talking about dying either. It's a pretty depressing topic, okay? But it's going to happen, right? So you know, and most employees out, Jack. I mean, if you run your company for 20 years, most of your employees don't stay with you during that time. You have to change them out, And so it's just being aware of those things in terms of having a little longer term focus. I think your point about a plan is a big thing here in terms of what are we trying to do, but having more of that longer term focus in terms of, okay, what if this doesn't work out? What are we going to do too? And how does that, and that's not pretend it's not going to impact your personal relationship, because it does. You know, we can compartmentalize it and pretend it's okay, but it's going to be awkward. It's going to be, again, it's going to be, it's a normal.
Well, a big part of fuel that has to be put into a situation like this is basically the owner of the business doesn't know what he doesn't know. All right. So he will hire somebody who's a family member. And let's say he's hiring that person for an accounting job. Okay. And he, the owner, knows very little about accounting. We've seen this many times. Doesn't like it, doesn't understand it, isn't learning it. Almost reluctantly has to talk to the CPA occasionally and talk about accounting stuff occasionally, but doesn't like it and isn't good at it at all. So he can't evaluate an accounting person and the need for that person and what it adds to the company. So he doesn't know what he doesn't know. So he'll minimize it. We've seen that so many times. He'll minimize the importance of the job, of the position, and he can bring in a family member. Hey, Eric knows accounting here. He's got a degree, or he's studying accounting at Tri-C, and I think we could get him be a nice, affordable position. And I think he could do pretty much what has to be done. In other words, minimizing it because he doesn't know better. So Eric comes in and Eric bombs out, and Eric is the favorite cousin coming in, but no longer, you know. Right. It's more of that stuff that gets messed up in the company. With the decision to bring in a family member so often. Whereas if he was more experienced and respected the need for good accounting, he'd look at Eric and say, "No, Eric isn't even considered here. He's right. Just too much of a lightweight." And he'd go out and get somebody rather than make a family member fit the position, rationalize it with lack of experience in that area. That's what causes so many business owners problems, that lack of experience. And you get it from the School of Hard Knocks. You get it, if you're lucky, with a good partner or a good team coming into the situation, not just learning on the job all the time. So much of it is learning on the job.
Yeah, you got to fight that short-term pain, Jack. I think you described that situation of handing off the accounting stuff to your cousin. It's like, well, it's better that, even though I'm not sure how to do it, it's better that he's dealing with it than me dealing with the CPA and having to deal with all that stuff, right? Or have somebody else deal with that stuff. So that immediate, again, it's almost like whatever the endorphin that comes out when you go shopping, right? Also, it's like, oh, you feel good, right? You feel good very short term. After it's like, oh, did I really buy that stuff? Uh-oh, did I really hire that guy? Now what do I do, right? And at that point, it's almost kind of too late. You try to make it work. Right, it's like all of a sudden, it's like, you know, like when you're dating somebody, okay, if it's not the right fit, you can't force it to work, right? I mean, if they don't have what you're looking for and they aren't willing to grow into it, you know, versus having the discussion with Eric, say, hey, it's great, you know, and if you go get some experience in this, and this, then come back and talk to me in a couple of years.
Right.
You have these things, right. Maybe we can talk. But, you know, again, if your name wasn't, you know, somehow related to mine, you know, I wouldn't even be talking to you seriously about this because I don't know who you are, right? You'd be just some stranger coming off the street and say, hey, I'll give you the same advice. Go get some experience, and then we can talk. So,
we like to say the job of the CEO is a three-word description: plan, direct, and control. Those are the three words, and it starts with the CEO of a small company should have any company really should have a plan to make profit. How do you do that? If you don't, if your skill level is so low that you can't direct that, you're going to have problems. And chances are you'll be one who, among other problems, hire people that are close to you through family and friendships, not the need for the skill level to come into your company. You know, you just don't know. So you have to have a plan and you have to execute against that plan. And hiring a key employee or an employee is going to be part of that planning. Again, coming back to short-term versus long-term look. So much is done on the short-term because a plan that is put together well, and it shows all the areas that you need to be focused on as the CEO in your company. And hiring a key employee, or any employee really, should be done in accordance with the plan and the needs of the company. And that's what we preach. And it works pretty good for people who follow it.
Well, it's key, I think, to keep in mind too, Jack. If you think about the pain you're currently in, however painful it is, you're used to that pain right now, right? And what's worse than that is to bring somebody in that you hope is going to relieve that pain, and then realize very quickly that they don't. Because what happens is they just add to the pain at that point if they aren't the right person. Versus the right person coming in, they do provide that relatively immediate relief for you. And it's not only the immediate relief, but also they add stuff to it where they provide the relief plus something, right? And so you want to make sure you have that person, because again, nothing worse than going backwards, Jack, right? So if I feel like I got that thing off my plate and I've got relief from it, I don't want to take it back, right?
Right, exactly.
We got to make sure that when we're handing it off, we're handing off into capable hands where it's not going to have to come back to me, because we know what happens with most owners of small businesses, Jack, is that when somebody does leave, many of those things fall back to the owner because, well, I don't want to burden somebody else with those things, or I'll kind of fill in the owner becomes that utility infielder where they're always plugging the gaps in terms of what's got to get done. So yeah, it's, our message today, Jack, is to fight that temptation, to fight that short-term urge to just hire family and friends, because it's going to be easier in the short term, quicker in the short term, and take more of that longer term view in terms of some of the downsides that could be there. And having these discussions up front to make sure that, hey, you also plan if things don't go well, what are we going to do about that? And just be right. Aware of it, that it's going to change your relationship. It's just like, again, I'll go back to the dating thing again, right? If all of a sudden, as I have discussions with my 17-year-old, going back to for mentioned movies today, when Harry Met Sally and the idea that men and women can't be friends, right? My 17-year-old still fights me on this, even though his girlfriend currently was somebody he was friends with, and it converted over. But yeah, people try to do that friends with benefits kind of thing, right? Once you kind of cross that line, it changes the relationship, right?
Sure, it does. Absolutely.
You can't go back, you can't go back to what it was. And again, not saying it's good or bad, just you have to be aware of it. Let's not pretend, right? I love the game Let's Pretend, Jack, in different situations. But it's not a good in that situation to pretend that things aren't gonna change or be different. And they could be different in a very good way. Again, and this can work out very, very well if we have the right people. Unfortunately, we see the right people coming in as friends and family far fewer than the majority. Is it 10 or 20% of the time? Maybe. It's almost 80%+ of the time it goes the wrong direction.
So our message today is to not hire friends and family generally.
Generally
speaking,
certainly not first, though. If you're gonna hire, make sure that look at other people too. Look at what's out there, kind of find that pool of folks to see how that family member or that friend measures up, especially compared to what you're looking for and to what's out there in the marketplace.
Right.
Maybe the marketplace doesn't have what you're looking for, Jack, and 80% is as good as you can get. Okay, well, hey, then that's okay. At least now you know. Versus, hey, it's just the first live body I saw who I happen to know very well that showed up. Hey, the fact you called me, Jack, that was a sign. That was a sign that I was supposed to hire you. Okay. Yeah, we can always look for the signs that support our decision, right? So
good. Very good.
All right. So that's our show for this week. If you tune in next week, I'll give a quick preview for next week, Jack. We're going to be talking about something that's near and dear to people's hearts, or should be, which is money, to a certain extent. But we're talking about more specific, more in detail about your banker. And there are so many folks we know that are really intimidated by their banker. And we'll talk about how do you not become intimidated by the banker. What do you do to help make sure that's a much better relationship for you? I think many folks here, Jack, especially in the last year or so since COVID hit, have tested those relationships a lot through things like the PPP funds, that kind of stuff as well. But we'll talk about the banking relationship and why you as an owner should not be intimidated by that and how to go about doing that. So we'll touch on that next week. But that's for today's show. We appreciate you listening. If you missed any of our prior shows, you can get them all at our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com. We also have a Facebook page by the same name. If you have some comments, thoughts, or questions you want to share with us, we can bring on the air here with us as well. You can email us at radio at MaximumVP.com or give us a call, 877-849-0670. So it's been a great show. Thanks, everybody, for being here and listening. And we will talk with you next week.
Excellent.